Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back for Hit or Quit, and it's time to talk about Stars on Mars, episode number 3. And now, here I am back with a lady who's out of this world. It's Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, are you saying I'm Mish Crit? Am I Mish Crit?
AKA
Mission Critical?
Yes, took me a second. Absolutely. You are 100% absolutely critical to this mission of podcasting crappy reality shows week after week. And we've got some big decisions to make here tonight as we talk through episode number 3 of Stars on Mars, the new Fox reality series talking about celebrities pretending to live on Mars. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. Life is busy right now, but I'm happy. I'm in good spirits. Part of that is because I am enjoying the show that we're talking about right now. Like, the thing is, like, I always look forward to talking to you. Like, I always look forward to the podcast. Mm-hmm. But there are some times where, like, you know, we've been watching a show that I'm like, you know, it kind of takes
doing
a little bit.
The podcast equivalent of shoveling 96 cups of human sewage.
Exactly.
We've
it was
done
very
that.
Relatable.
Relatable. Yes.
And so it's nice to actually be looking forward to the TV watching portion of this experience as well. I'm finding it light and enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I'm getting things from it that, like, you know, I think that people would enjoy from, like, you know, the Celebrity Big Brother, watching, like, people that you already knew and recognized from whatever, you know, like sports or entertainment, mm-hmm. like interacting and, like, kind of just shooting the sewage together. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just think, like, it's silly, but it's not too earnest, which I love. I don't love when things are taking itself too seriously and trying to be too, like, moral. And I just feel like this is giving me what I need in this point of my life. It's just a nice, easy watch, and there's enough to laugh about and at least dissect. And I think it makes our job here easier. Right.
Good. Well, I'm happy to hear you say that. Of course, I don't want to speak out of school. I believe this is the world's only Stars on Mars recap.
Wow. So,
and I should say the solar system's only Stars on Mars recap here as we go along. But we do have some decisions to make, Jenny.
I know.
Because,
yeah, we do.
Of course, you and I have been podcasting about shows weekly for basically almost a year and a half at this point. Mm-hmm. But we do have our flagship show, Claim to Fame, is coming back not only next week, also next Monday, the same night as Stars on Mars. So we have some mission critical decisions to be making in terms of our podcasting, but we can get to that here in just a moment. It was a big episode of Stars on Mars as... Yeah. I don't know. This is the Hit or Quit podcast. Did we have our first quit on Stars on Mars?
I mean, they literally said he did. Mm-hmm. They said he quit. And I didn't hear him say, I am definitely leaving, so don't get rid of anyone else. But he basically did say, you know, these two are mission critical. I've done what I needed to do here. So it was like, to me, at least what we saw, it seemed pretty quitty to me, but
seemed pretty quitty. Yeah. I like Richard Sherman, that he is, a pretty fun, media personality, but does seem like he wanted to pull the plug on.
He lost on
Stars on Mars. Yes. Yes.
He was fun in the first two episodes. I mean, we didn't see a lot of him, but I felt like, you know, he was in the mix and he was giving us a little bit. But obviously they had to telegraph what was going to happen here. He was just sucked of his energy.
But what
on
was
this
the
one.
Issue,
he was,
Jenny?
He said he missed his kids.
Yeah, but
As a father of children, Rob, we just had Father's Day.
Yes.
You get a moratorium on you know, like you can be candid here.
Not really on Mars. Like,
yeah, it's not even that long.
I mean, like, what's with these athletes? I mean, did Meta World Peace like have to leave a show after like a day?
I mean,
like these guys go to like NFL training camp.
Maybe they're just making way more money. I don't know. I guess so. So the thing is, okay, well, there are two pieces here that we get from Richard Sherman. The last is like in his parting words, he said that the hardest thing was being away from his kids. But in the beginning of the episode, as we're getting the setup for him, you know, struggling and not being at his best in this episode, he says it's the downtime, the boredom is really getting to him. And he's happiest when he's like running boot camp and doing exercises. So I don't know if it was like so much about missing his family. Like maybe that's a byproduct of the boredom, because you're bored, then you start missing people because you're thinking about them more, you're less distracted. So he did say that was what he was struggling with. It was the struggle with the downtime, the boredom. Do you think that people on Stars on Mars are as bored as they would be in the Big Brother house?
Boy, no, because I think you have more to do on Stars on Mars.
They have tasks.
They have like mandatory exercise time. So it's only been 6 days. A lot has happened. In 6 days of Big Brother, like not that much is going on. I guess they have pool time.
Yeah, like no one has left by 6 days of Big Brother. Yeah, I don't know. But again, it's different with celebrities than like regular people that are, you know, like they're not used to living under these conditions and, you know, having no contact. Well, and that's the other thing is like on Big Brother, they don't get to talk to their kids or their family. It seems like they get like little FaceTime, like phone time with their family. So they're not even like completely cut off.
Yeah, we saw Ronda Rousey, right?
Yeah, Rhonda talked to her partner and her child like over like FaceTime or something like that. So it's like they're not even completely cut off. So that's where I'm kind of like, come on, Richard, I'm disappointed. Yeah. First of all, I did a silly little draft with Randy Newpel and his friend Ann and Phil and I, and I drafted Richard Sherman first. He let me down.
He was over it. What are you gonna do?
I will say, you know, the situation we ended up with facing our, like at the end of this episode, I think that I'm happiest with this outcome. But I was still, I'm mostly just disappointed that we lost fun Richard and he completely gave us nothing in this episode. And he said, I'm out.
He said,
that's where I'm disappointed.
I mean, he came into the show and he was kind of like the Marshawn Lynch interpreter. Like he came in and was like, I speak Marshawn. Like I'll tell you what he's saying. Like, I'm going to help him. Mm-hmm. Like he seemingly drove him there. It was good. He got Marshawn Lynch to Mars. I guess like that he's done his duty.
Well, and this is the question now is like, you know, with him as the, you know, Marshawn whisperer, like, are we going to get extra off the wall Marshawn now? Like, is he without Richard there to kind of rein him in sometimes? Mm-hmm. Are we going to get extra wacky Marshawn?
Like, or could Marshawn check out?
Well, this is what we got warned basically by Ronda Rousey in this episode, where she basically, you know, and we get the setup that these three are very tight. And she basically says one of Marshawn or Richard goes, the other's going close behind, and then I'm going close behind, which I don't know if she was saying that, like, I don't know if she was trying to make it sound like you're going to get rid of the next person and then I'm going to get rid of, like, be gotten rid of next. Or if she was literally saying what the other one will quit and then I will probably quit as
I don't
like that.
Jenny, I feel like that this was sort of like the beginning of like the strategy era of Stars on Mars.
Yes.
Yeah, where there's some talk about the social game. And it did seem like we got early on in the episode that Rhonda and Marshawn and Richard Sherman seemed to have a kind of an alliance. And the other side of the house has noticed it. And so as much as Richard Sherman wanted wanted to go home. I also think that it was a strategic decision to send Richard Sherman home and break up that. Basically, I think that Richard Sherman was the glue between, like, he was the mutual friend between Ronda Rousey and Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, that completely tracks, because we get a lot more of Ronda talking about how close and Richard talking about how close he is with Ronda and seeing them together, where I think like Marshawn is like floating around socializing with other people a little bit more. And so you're saying that this could have been a weaken Ronda, because I've heard a lot of people say like Ronda's here for the long haul. Like she's yeah. And also I do need to speak to how I addressed what I thought was going on with Ronda's social game last week, where I was like, I think she's isolating herself. I don't think she's getting along with people. I don't think she likes hanging out with people. And the show must have listened to me and said, okay, we need to show Jenny that Ronda is very popular in the house and is very socially liked and is having a great experience. But I still feel like we're like getting a lot of like she's hanging out with these two. They're mostly just working out together. But
yeah,
we did get some confessionals from other people saying that Ronda is very well liked. So do you think that the Richard extraction? Do you get extracted?
Yeah, he got extracted.
Not executed. That's
he got extracted.
Way more.
Yeah.
He was extracted. Do you think that that was in part to weaken, I guess, both Ronda and Marshawn? But I think it's like more, because I think that that Ronda is more mentally tied to.
Yeah, I think Ronda Richard. Is a little bit more considered the threat than Marshawn, who is sort of just like out there. I don't think that he's really thought of as like a serious contender.
He's and there for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, and it seems like that the other group, it seems like certainly like Tinashe, seemingly Adam, seemingly Ariel, maybe Portia as well. It feels like that's the other side of the house.
Yeah, I'm not clear. Like, I'm seeing like, you know, little like trust clusters and like little pods of people that are like friends. But like, I'm still not super clear on like whether that's all one big group or like, you know, if there's like subgroups of this, because there was like a few weird interactions where I'm like, is this person closer with this person or this person? I do enjoy that we're starting to get social dynamics that are beyond this person did the most work in the challenge. Like, I do enjoy that we are getting, and you know, it sucks to lose Richard Sherman, but if it was ultimately a social move to advance the strategy of this game that we didn't know is a game that has no prize.
You win a game that has no outcome, like no prize? Is there a winner? Will there be a winner at the end of Stars on
Mars?
You get badges, but can you win Stars on Mars? I know there's no prize, but can you win?
Brightest star in the galaxy, Rob.
Brightest star in the galaxy.
Put that on your Twitter bio.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about what happens here in this episode. And from early on, we start to get the Richard Sherman is not having it. Richard Sherman thinks he might have space madness, Jenny.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know, like, is space madness, it's like you go into some sort of psychosis in space. Or I assume that that's what he means, but he's saying the space madness is being caused by like the sitting around, and then it just like puts him in a bad mood. Whereas like, do you think like space, like, is there something to do with the gravity situation that has like sucked his life force out? Because he really did just seem sucked of his energy.
Now, I do think that they actually are on Earth's gravity. So I don't think that the gravity
But that's why they have to work out. We keep on getting the cab lady voice saying like, it is important to work your muscles. The gravity is impacting the elasticity. I don't know what she says. Something like that.
Yeah. Is it possible that Tallulah was like keeping Richard Sherman pumped up?
Do you think that there was a line, like a domino effect of like life force, and like Tallulah was like, she was the brightest star in the galaxy at her peak, and she was like giving energy to like that side of the hab.
Maybe.
And so Tallulah falls, Richard feels weakened, and now, you know, he's waning in energy, and now that's starting to filter down to your Rhonda, to your Marshawn, and we're going to see that continue. Yep.
Once Tallulah went home, it was all over.
Who knew that that would be the one thing that set this in motion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was a power plant that was powering so many of our prospective astronauts.
Literal plants, like in the bio.
Watch out for that. Not flammable. All right. This was my favorite part, favorite thing from the episode, Jenny. So Portia is talking about how that she dreamed that there was a dog. She kept hearing a dog, and people are like, boy, Portia, what are you talking about? This is cuckoo bananas. You have space madness. What are you talking about that there's a dog? You are just like having vivid dreams. And then, sure enough, we get like a Boston Dynamics dog to run out. Now, was the dog barking from, you know, like what do you think? Were they sort of like teasing that the dog was coming and it was barking and Portia could hear it? Or do you feel like that Portia dreamed about the dog and then they hurried and
they
got the
it
dog
up really quick? Because if they
get a Boston Dynamics dog down here now.
Well, here's the thing is, like, you know, the story itself is like one of those things that happens like on these shows where they're like, you know, all sharing rooms, they're sleeping away from home, they're probably having like weirder dreams. So these are just the things that people talk about when they're in a situation where they're all having to like cohabitate and like they're hearing each other like sleep talk and stuff. So like the talk of the, oh, I heard a dog and it was barking and I heard that its nails on the thing, like that's something that could easily happen. But would they be able to pick up on that and be like, this is going to be a great storyline, let's get a robotic dog?
No way they could get the dog there that quick. I think that they were like breadcrumbing Portia.
Yeah. They basically were like setting her up. It was only in her pod where like the speaker in her own sleep pod was the only thing that had the rough, rough, and whatever like nails on the floor that she heard. And they unleash this robotic dog the next morning into the house.
I love the dog.
It was amazing.
The dog barks and it goes arf, 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 arf.
it has the energy of Richard Sherman when it comes to arf, the bark.
Arf, arf. But arf, this thing arf is creepy. Now, Jenny, you're not a Black Mirror person, right?
No, I'm not. Yes. No, I don't love spooky.
There is an episode of Black Mirror that, you know, anybody that's seen that episode can never forget when they see one of these dogs where these dogs have like run amok and they, I think they have like a gun on them also.
Oh, I don't like that. Don't make dogs scarier. Yes. Like, dogs are cute and fun. Don't put a gun on them because now I'm afraid of them. Mm-hmm. Like,
but I love this dog. This was an emotional support dog for the Hab.
Yeah. So that this is their emotional support dog. And they're also they're supposed to take turns to look after it. So it's a new responsibility for them.
What do they have to look after? They had to walk the dog.
They had to walk it.
Why?
I don't know. A lot of the tasks they do are just fake. Like, remember when they were taking blood pressure last week? Like, I don't even know if the plants are real. Yeah. At this point, I'm questioning everything. I don't know if
real
any of these
at
tasks
one point. Yeah. Did see the dog defecate metal at one point.
Yes, that was very funny. So we had this, like, it was like after a commercial break or whatever.
Yes.
And I love that the show does this. Like, it just like inserts these like little scenes where it's like laughing at, like, you know, just like having a little fun. And so we get like a return from commercial and like, you know, it's like a close up of like the little dog feet on like the Mars floor. And then it stops and squats, and then little bolts come dropping out. Like, it's an extreme close up. So it's just metal, but you know what's happening here. And then just like a pile of bolts come out of this robot dog. And Rob, this was like foreshadowing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it did foreshadow the fecal matter that we were going to see later on in the episode. Were there hot dogs mixed in with the metal?
I don't know. I mean, the bolts kind of look like a hot dog, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
I mean, this would be great if your dog pooped metal, because you could just have like a magnet to clean up.
Yeah, just like have like a long, like a magnetic stick and just like pick it up, toss it. That would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Definitely would not be wet, warm, and mushy. But yeah, and they named the dog too. The dog's name is Marisha, because they're on Mars.
Okay,
that's where that came from. But the funny thing was, is that like it was Portia who summoned the dog, whether that was intentional or not. And then she immediately does not like this dog because it's like chasing her and it's terrifying. It's not as cute as a real dog.
Yeah.
It's a robot.
So I understand they're on Mars. What is Marisha? What was combined with Mars to just make Marisha?
Just, I think they just said Mar. They didn't even do Marza. Mm-hmm. And they just added Isha to make it more of a name.
Okay.
I think that's all. I think that's really all it is. Listen, they have space madness, Rob.
They have space madness. Who can blame them? Who can blame them? Okay. Jenny, the Stars on Mars participants needed to come up with a new base commander. That was a big deal early on in the episode. We see people talking about it. Some people think they want Tinashe to be the new person, but also there's some talk about Ariel.
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing, and this is why I'm like not fully sure like what the full social dynamics of the Hab is at this point, because I feel like Adam is like playing hard because he's in good with Tinashe, and like they talk, and she's like talking to him about how you know, she feels, she talks to, first of all, she talks to Lance and he thinks that she'd be good. And then she talks to Adam and he seems, you know, like supportive of her being the next base commander. But they talk a little bit about how like, Tinashe is like soft spoken. But then it's like, but he's like supportive and he's like, yeah, no, I think you'd be a great base commander. And then like cut to Adam,
you know,
going
really
to Ariel.
Good?
Yeah, being like, she's loud, her voice, like she's a great communicator. Like this needs to be, she's small, she's gonna get everyone whipped. This needs to be our next base commander. And like then he kind of starts this like campaign for Ariel to be. And I was like, whose side are you on, sir? Mm-hmm. I see you playing both sides. So yeah, that it's it, and these two become the main names, and then they decided to do like an actual vote again
with
paper.
Ultimately, Tinashe is the new base commander. Marshawn Lynch does not want to give up the bedroom, Jenny. He was able to keep it 1 week after he became the base commander when Tallulah was out.
Yeah, she was all about staying in the main room, and she did not, I think she was just like, I don't, I want to make an enemy of Marshawn Lynch. Like, I'll just let him have this means a lot to him and it doesn't mean that much to me. But this was the big thing where it's like, we're just going to let this man keep the bedroom every week. And so, you know, we get like Portia saying like, okay, this is Tinashe's like first test. Can she be the one to get Marshawn to get out of the, you know, the base commander suite?
Yeah, it ended up not being that difficult, right?
No, it was so weird. The conversation was like, Tinashe just comes up to him and is just like, okay, like, you know, what do you think about getting out of the suite? And then like, they just show us a scene of them walking into the room together and she's like, oh, this is sweet. And then he just goes, take care of my room, and walks away. And then everyone had the same reaction we did. We're like, how did this happen? So do you think he was just like making a big stink, like just waiting to see how long people would just like let it go? But if anyone actually like came to him and said, no, I really, really want it, he was just gonna be like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of jurisdiction he has to squat on the base commander bedroom. It does seem as though that then he doesn't take an actual bed. He is sleeping on the couch in sort of like the common area, which I think that is also frowned upon, but he does not seem to be wanting to give up that spot.
I'm guessing he must just like privacy while sleeping, because I can't imagine those little couches he's sleeping on are like more comfortable than the little, because like, yes, they are like in a big common room, but they have like privacy, like.
Yeah, but maybe he's like claustrophobic.
Oh, maybe that's it. But you could have the probably the thing open, but even you think even just being enclosed, even
he's
if
also
there's
like, I mean, he's, I don't know, he's a bigger guy. Yeah. I don't know if he like how tall he is, but you know, I think he's probably like stout and wide. I don't know if he necessarily that's like might be not a comfortable fit for Marshawn.
Yeah, I don't know. I just to me when he's sleeping in this like little like living area where there's like a couch
he's
and
couch
there's no
surfing
one else.
Now.
Maybe I just thought like, oh, like, well, there's no one else around this area. So I have at least like somewhat of a private sleeping space.
It seemed like the bathroom was actually the biggest deal for Marshawn.
I definitely think maybe he cut a deal with Tinashe where he's
maybe
like,
he still use the bathroom.
He's like, I have like bathroom veto rights or something. And you better not let Lance use it.
We get to see a little bit more of Rhonda in the garden. Rhonda seems to have like a really green thumb. She is like talking with Richard Sherman about how you have to speak positively to the plants. Richard Sherman is even speaking kindly to the plants.
I mean, she was a good influence on him, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, like this is her safe place. Mm-hmm. And this is what I was saying. I thought she was just hanging out in the biodome like at all times and not speaking to anyone. But apparently she is doing other things.
She does other
She's
things.
Working out with Richard and Marshawn as well.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to have a big incident. But one other thing before we get to this week's big incident on the Mars habitat. Ariel is talking about her experience as a child actor.
Oh yeah.
And Rhonda is like, why made you go into this? She's like, I don't know. I was 4 and I didn't have a good experience. Like, oh.
She said it was rotten. And then she was
awkward.
Like, I couldn't really follow exactly what she was saying, but she kind of like was saying like, well, it really depends on how your parents are. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell if she was saying like, bad things about her own parents or if she was like suggesting that it could have been worse if her parents were not as good as they were. And it was like kind of vague.
I got the sense that she was actually talking about how bad her parents were.
Like that was how I read it, but she didn't say it so outright that I was like, oh, this is very like spicy that this is like, is this a well-known thing? Are her parents watching Stars on Mars and being like, oh, I had no idea that we traumatized you by forcing you into acting at age 4. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that this is news? I feel so bad for Ariel because so she seems like a lot of her stuff is about like her confidence and like she talks a lot about how she, because everyone's like, you're an actress, like you can speak, you're a great communicator. And she says a lot of like, she is not comfortable speaking as herself and being herself. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, I feel like that's like kind of like sad and kind of dark. And then what really frustrated me about, you know, her situation and like, it's very tricky because when you're someone that's like, you know, kind of like talking outwardly about like your confidence and like maybe playing down like, you know, your skills or whatever, like people are going to underestimate you. And like maybe that sometimes is great. But what drove me crazy and I found it so relatable was when they did the vote for base commander and it was and there was like this, you know, kind of campaign for Ariel to be the base commander. And she talked about all of this stuff. And then ultimately it was Tinashe. And then like everyone was like so patronizing to her being like, oh, it's okay. She'll get it eventually. Like talking about her while she was still sitting there. Like I just felt like it was one of those things where it's like they feel bad for you. But then they like kind of are, you know, like treating you with kid gloves and like talking about you like, oh, you'll get it someday. Don't worry about your, you did great. You did so good. And your time is coming, sweetie. Like I don't know why I zeroed in on that immediate.
I didn't even catch that.
Oh my God. I don't know. Maybe it just like it unlocked some of my own trauma where like,
were you a child actress, Jenny?
I mean, I did dabble in the dramatic arts, but I was not an actor. I did not actually have any professional work, but I did do, like, I was a drama kid, but I think it's more so just like that I encounter people, and I definitely do like kind of play dumb sometimes. I'm underestimated in my life sometimes. And I find, especially because I'm a sensitive little baby, that sometimes you get the little kid glove and be like, oh, Jenny, you know, you did so great. It's okay. And I'm like, well, don't talk to me like I'm a baby. And I just felt like that was what was happening there. And I'm like, that can't be good for her either. So anyway, I just hope that she's okay. And I hope that she came out of this experience with, it does seem like she is gaining confidence from this. But I'm very curious about this story because I know nothing of her work before Modern Family.
You're going to find like a podcast interview she did.
There's got to be something, right? Like, I mean, she's out here on Mars, you know, basically insinuating her family, like forced her into acting at four and kind of like
probably she's trying to run away from her family to go to Mars.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, it's not actually about being, or maybe she, like Ronda Rousey, always wanted to be an astronaut and like. This is like a particular thing going, because she got forced into acting.
You're going to be part of the Dunphy family.
Yeah. I want to go to Mars.
No. You're going to Hollywood. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that ultimately it was a very good episode for her, but I just saw like they, you know, she's little and she's definitely like talking outwardly about her confidence issues. And I just think that people are maybe taking advantage of that a little bit. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me.
Jenny, we had a big disaster on the base this week. And
not the dog pooping bolts.
No. There was a big fire in the biodome. Now, I don't really know what went on fire in the biodome, which of the plants went on fire.
So they showed like some sort of electrical sparking like from above. So maybe like the lights were like that was what it was supposed to be, was like some sort of electrical fire took place. And because there was so much, plant life in there that could
like
catch
a forest
flame.
Fire. Sure.
Yeah. It's literally a wildfire like within, you know, the Hab. It's actually pretty close to home. All Mars, right. They're just like us.
They're just like us. and so a quick, as a fire, everybody evacuate, put your suit on. Like, this is not a good situation.
This is the
worst. The Hab is on fire. Go out onto the surface of Mars where it's safer.
Of course this happens like right as they're going to sleep for the night. Mm-hmm. The fire alarm goes off. Like they plan this perfectly. When the fire alarm goes off, like, you know, and you're sleeping, like I live in a condo building. There have been times where like the fire alarm will go off at like it happened at 5 a.m. one time on Phil's birthday. And you know, you're like, oh God. And you're like disoriented and you are trying to get out as quickly as possible. And just put on whatever clothes you can. Imagine the fire alarm goes off and you now have to put on this very involved, heavy, like space suit. Like they have to put the helmet on. They have to zip up their whole thing because you can't go out into the Mars floor without it. Like it's so ridiculous. And it's like the voice is like increasing like urgency, like, you know, like evacuate immediately. Explosion is imminent. And like, you're like having to put your little space suit on, like your helmet.
Well, the good part is that even if you didn't get your space suit on exactly correct, you weren't going to die.
No, because it's Australia.
So they go outside and Richard Sherman has had it at this point. There's an explosion. Richard Sherman is like, all right, check, please.
Yeah, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for him because he was already, and he warned us too. I'm pretty sure in like earlier in the episode, he basically said he's not in the mood today and that like
they if, better not
if
be
something goes wrong, he's out the house by the end of the day. He did warn us. And I mean, ultimately, he did last the day.
He did warn us, but it was kind of a false warning because something will go wrong every single day on Stars on Mars. Like, that's it's kind point. Of built yeah. that way. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. I don't know if he knew. Maybe he thought they would have days off from things down going days. Wrong.
Right. Okay. So, Jenny, there's a problem with the biodome. A message from Shaddy Daddy. It says they have to repair the biodome. And this is going to be a two-part process. Part number one is they have to send a mission, a group out to go duct tape the biodome closed.
Yeah, and it's just like one of those like geometric sphere type, like, you know, like during like COVID lockdowns, like people would like build, like restaurants would have wine in the, you know what I'm mm-hmm. talking about? I'm
yeah, just
like
making, sure.
Okay. I was like, is this like a thing that I'm not explaining? Mm-hmm. About? It's like literally one of those, but it's like not see-through. It's just like. Like some sort of white sheet
like
or
a tarp.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a tarp, but like in a geometric shape. And they simply need to duct tape it because they have
you
to
can't
protect
duck it.
You can't duck it. You need to protect the plants from
radiation.
Radiation exposure, of course, mm-hmm. obviously. Yeah. So that's the first part of the mission. And then the second part will be that they have to replant the crops that have been destroyed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once the atmosphere is intact and there's no more yeah. radiation exposure.
And they had exactly 25 minutes. 26 minutes, they're dead. 25, that's fine.
Yes, it's that simple. It's that 1 minute.
1 minute makes all the difference here yeah. when it turns, when we're talking about radiation in the soil. And so, and the clock started from like starting now, like they didn't have their suit on.
Yeah, it was kind of sudden. I really thought that they were not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So we did skip over the fact that Tinashe picks Ariel as the mission specialist. Yes. So the two of them are back in the HAB directing. And then there's like four people for the first phase. So there's the ladder crew. And so there's like two people that climb the ladder to do the taping, and then there's two people that hold the ladder. Like, they really make this very basic. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Portia and Lance that are climbing the ladder and doing the taping, and Richard and Marshawn will hold their ladders
And Richard yeah. Sherman was not happy being a ladder holder.
No, I think maybe he just felt like his talents were wasted there. I don't know what, but do you think that what do you think that he'd want to do the other tasks that came up, Rob?
No,
I think that he wanted to be in. I think he probably wouldn't have liked any of these things.
Yeah. So they send the crew out to go and tape up the hole in the biodome. They need to like cut the tape. Marshawn Lynch, that he says that he grabs a rock and he says that they could cut the tape with a rock.
And you get the clip of the scissors on the ground and just Marshawn, like, you know, insisting we just use the rock. It's the rock is right there. Let's just cut the tape with the rock. Like, how sharp is this rock?
It's not very sharp, right? I wouldn't think. Also, Marshawn Lynch had to drive the Mars rover, which was also pretty cool.
The Marshawn rover.
Marshawn rover. He's doing really good.
There was like imaginary rap music. Like they inserted the rap music for the show, but like he was not dancing to anything in the actual scene, I'm sure of it. Like, but it was very fun. Like, that's the thing is like they're having fun with the editing of it. I'm enjoying that. And I feel like this feud between Marshawn and Lance is like still building. Like they have like a fun little feud because, with Lance, because I think that it was the two of them that were arguing about the rock versus the scissors.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do know that rock beats scissors.
Oh, rock beats scissors. Is that the logic?
Yes, and then paper is what the biodome is made out of. So
okay. So
what's tape?
But the paper, so
scissor but then beats the rock, tape. Tape beats
the
paper.
The rock would be no match for the biodome then.
Yeah, rock could go right through. That's paper.
So paper would wrap the rock and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why it's challenged. But yeah. That might have been his rationale, though. Like, is like, have you ever played rock, paper, scissors? The rock is better than the scissors, so we're going with the rock.
Mm-hmm. So, Jenny, we are ultimately going to get mission phase one completed. They stabilize the pressure, but now we get to mission phase two. And phase two involves sending people into the biodome where there was a fire, and they are going to have to review the burnt plants. Rhonda is not going to be happy. And then they're going to have to transfer solid septic waste from the septic tank and then fill up some sort of 96 cups of waste from the septic system and then add it to the soil and replant the soil.
Yes. So there's simulated human waste that they did let us know it is simulated human waste.
Yeah. Not since jury duty have we gotten to talk about simulated human waste.
It's been so long.
Yes. Too bad James Marsden wasn't there. Speaking of Stars on Mars. Stars on Marsden, that maybe he could have come in and like used the base commander bathroom and then had like a big bowel movement.
And they could have used a Mars bar for, you know, is that a thing in America? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. We have like chocolate bars that you guys don't have.
And then
vice versa. So I wasn't sure if Mars was a Canadian thing. But they could have literally had the Mars bar because it was literally like that was what it was in jury duty. It was like some sort of like Snickers or something. Mm-hmm. Disgusting. This was much more liquid. So the concept here is that there is a septic tank. They need 94 cups of this human waste to be transported over to be mixed with Martian soil.
Okay. Now, the first first thing, okay. First sign that this is fake. First, they've been there 5 days. No way there's 94 cups of waste in the septic tank.
Like, and not just like 94 cups of waste, like 94 cups of like diarrhea. And all they've eaten is corn.
Yes, yes.
They've literally been living purely on corn.
Do you think anybody who's listening didn't watch the episode was like, wait, what? What now? What's happening?
I think there's probably at least one.
Yeah, they had to go into the septic system and fish out 94 cups of waste.
Yeah.
For fertilizer.
Waste. And here's the thing, Rob. Like you said, this... clearly fake. It's been 5 days. This is not real. Mm-hmm. They did like the show does tell us it's simulated human waste, but they did their best to make this super realistic.
Very realistic.
Because apparently this smells vile.
Very bad. Yeah. And now all of this, I think, is like the writers of the show said, okay, well, we're going to send people to Mars. What are they going to do? And of course, you know, the Matt Damon film, The Martian, famously, the only thing anybody remembers is that he had no food and he had to grow potatoes out of his own poop. And so Stars on Mars said we are going to recapture the magic of the Martian.
That I'm sorry, that's just science, Rob. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're just keeping it scientifically accurate that everyone on Mars at some point needs to grow potatoes.
You need to recycle your own poop. Yes. Yeah. And you can only
grow
a potato.
Very important to the mission.
In poop.
Potatoes specifically thriving in that shit, you know? So.
Yeah. And so Rhonda goes to work. Also, I was a little appalled by the lack of gloves throughout most of this. I feel like that they could have... I would put my spacesuit back on.
Yeah. I mean, does it slow you down at this point?
Are
you
care.
Just so separated from, like, how... I don't know. Like, we see how... You have a time limit here. They're given 30 minutes to complete this phase of the mission.
Or what was going to happen?
I don't know.
Or what? We already sealed the biodome. The radiation.
We need these meaningless patches, Rob. Mm-hmm. We need our scout's patch.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. They're going to work. Rhonda is shoveling the poop. And in the meantime, Natasha has to work on taking care of the charred plants with Adam, but she can't stop gagging.
Yeah. Yeah. The smell of this septic waste is just killing her. And she, like, I will say everyone was gagging, but Natasha basically says, like, once she said it did smell like vomit and poop, which we've had this debate on this very podcast. What is worse?
Yeah.
I think if you get both, that's definitely worse. If it smells like both vomit and poop, not a great time. Mm-hmm. And she said that once she starts gagging, she can't stop. It seemed to be true.
Seems to be true.
And I hated this because I'm one of those people, like, just the sound of someone gagging will kind of get me going in a bad way.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. And I couldn't even smell the smells they were smelling. But, like, the visual and watching her, like, audibly gag over and over again, I was like, oh, vile. Yeah. Hated it.
Adam, who's also working on feeding the soil,
the nutrients of their...
He seemed to notice that, boy, the people in the habitat seem to have been eating a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, he said, Base Commander, there's a lot of hot dogs in this shit. Mm-hmm. Which also Tom was helping Rhonda with the retrieving of the waste. And at one point he said, did we have chili?
Mm-hmm.
Which it did, like, there was, like, chunks of tomato. It did actually look like a terrible chili. But, like, so much corn and I guess hot dogs, like, just cut up, like, whole hot dogs, cut up hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's really disgusting.
Yeah.
Do you think that there was anything added to this that was actually meant to smell like poop or vomit? Or was it just the combination of these, like, food products that they put together?
No, I think amalgamated probably to smell. Because I know, like, Nathan For You, like, they when he made the poop flavored ice cream, like, they're actually, like, are, like,
you can get the
chemicals, like, food chemicals that you can get.
Yeah, like the Harry Potter like jelly beans that you can get too, that, like, taste like boogers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, poopy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that one of them? Is one of them poopy?
I don't know.
Magic poopy?
I don't know. Don't ask me. Yeah.
Cosmic poopy.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah, Adam was really fun this episode. He's like, I'm spilling diarrhea on myself.
Yeah, he is actually very funny. And Tom Schwartz, you know, he's not going to be in the bottom three. And this was, like, no big thing for him. Because I guess when you deal with pieces of ish all the time, like Tom Sandoval, this is nothing. He's used to it.
All in a day's work. I'm handling shit on the daily. Have you seen my friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. He did say, calls it, he said his role is Frank Shovels Shit.
Okay.
What is that? Is that a thing? Is that a reference? I don't understand.
Not the one that I know.
Or does he mean Frank because there was hot dogs in the poop? So it was like Frank's, like Frankfurter.
Maybe. And so they have to plant the potatoes and mission is complete. They did it.
Yes. I was really worried for Natasha during this whole thing. This is where you saw good leadership from I think it was Ariel specifically who at one point noticed that Natasha was basically vomiting and not contributing to the pouring of the fecal matter and said, Natasha, you're not doing anything. How about you go cut these potatoes? We're going to need those eventually. So, like, good job kind of like instead of just standing there gagging, like, let's
focus,
shift you away from the poop and you can just cut some potatoes.
Okay. And so the teams have to take out the trash. And then Shaddy Daddy comes in and it's time to do the merit badge ceremony. Now, and it's an interesting, like, flip whether they complete the mission or not complete the mission.
Mm-hmm.
When they complete the mission, it's like, okay, now it's like The Bachelor of, like, who is like, who gets a badge? Who is mission critical? Yeah. And then it's sort of like a inversion when they lose the mission, then it's like, all right, who are the people that were, you know,
the least bad.
Yeah. The least bad. Save them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of the same process, but like just from a different vibe. And then also the piece where, you know, the base commander is still there making the decisions. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they had failed the mission, the base commander leaves and is, you know, up for elimination. I feel like, does the order that they decide who's mish crit, like, does that matter?
I don't think it matters, but I think that they do. It's definitely like whoever their friends are.
Yeah. Like, does it mean something to, yes, like, are people like upset if they didn't get picked first when they thought that they did?
So, Ariel and Tinashe, they go right to Rhonda. Although the Rhonda is not really part of their group. So maybe it was who did the best.
Yeah, maybe I don't know.
Rhonda was shoveling the most poop. So let's go ahead and, keep her happy.
I thought that, you know, it was between, just the way that like it was edited, I thought that it was going to be between Adam or Portia for the first badge, because like Portia was like, she was the most mission critical on that portion of the mission where the taping, the important taping of the dome. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Rhonda was doing work, but Adam was like, Adam did his whole part by himself where it was supposed to be him and Natasha. And he had a great attitude. He was shoveling poop, pouring it onto Martian good soil, attitude, having a great time. He was covered in hot dogs and corn and what have you, not even wearing gloves. Mm-hmm. But it was ultimately Rhonda that, yeah. And then it almost seems like they went to the women first.
Yeah. Was this the recipe for solid waste?
Oh, the beef sauce.
Pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. This is like beef sauce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the noises. It honestly did look like JC's beef sauce. Mm-hmm. It has the hot dogs. We know that. The hot dogs. Mm-hmm.
All right. Rhonda got saved. Then Portia got saved. Then Lance got saved. And Adam got saved. And for once, Tom is Mish Crit.
Wow. He did it. He is finally not one of the worst people.
Finally.
Congratulations, finally. Tom. I will say, many people confirmed what I felt about Tom Schwartz. We had lots of lovely listeners basically say, don't worry, Jenny. Tom Schwartz is as bad as you think. He doesn't deserve your grace. But since then, it does sound like he has publicly severed his ties, friendship-wise, with Sandoval. So... Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is like he's trying to repair his image. He heard we were talking smack on the well-regarded Hitter Quit podcast.
Yes, highly regarded. Now, Jenny, the one other thing that we brought up on last week's podcast that we got the most feedback about was, do you know what it is?
Oh, crime scene kitchen.
Yes. We said last week, we were like, what the hell is crime scene kitchen?
And the people love it.
We were inundated with joking. Crime scene kitchen is so good. Maybe we should quit Stars on Mars for crime scene kitchen.
I don't know. If they people are like, don't tempt us with a good time. You might not be icy, but you are on thin ice because we might ditch you for crime scene kitchen.
Oh wow,
the people came out in droves to let us know how good this
show
is.
We're dating somebody and then we cheat on them with their roommate of like, oh yeah, we're dumping Stars on Mars for right crime after scene you. Kitchen
yeah we leave Stars on Mars bedroom and we're like, oh, I'm just going to the bathroom, and just like slip our way into the crime scene kitchen for a little snack. Mm-hmm. And murder. Yes. Apparently there's no murder. It's just...
Crime scene kitchen. Okay.
Anyway, so if you are wondering and thought, hey, maybe I'll check it out, the people say it's great.
People say it's great.
They spoke.
We got no less than like 10 messages of like, no.
Yeah.
The Crime Scene Kitchen is amazing. It's the best show on television. Okay. Jenny, yeah, bottom three. It's Natasha. It's Marshawn. It's Richard. I kind of thought Natasha was in trouble here.
I thought so too, but I think I kept thinking back to, well, we saw a lot of like Ariel and Tinashe talking about like how, you know, Marshawn is like, he contributes, but even when he does contribute, like he does it begrudgingly. Like he's not like he kind of is annoyed that he has to do anything. Mm-hmm. And so like we got a little bit of like foreshadowing that it could be him, but I kept going back to the beginning of the episode and I was like, this man is over it. Why did we get all of this stuff about Richard being bored and just annoyed about everything? But I think on paper, you know, if you ultimately did care about like who might be helpful in the missions, like I love Natasha. I love, love, love Natasha. And I'm so glad that she stayed. But like overall, she hasn't been that helpful in anything. Like she was base commander last week and she was like fine.
Well, she was the mission specialist.
Oh, right. Yeah. She was the mission specialist. So she ultimately was safe and she was good at that. But like she hasn't like done very much. So I think that if they were, you know, take the thing about Richard, like his heart not being in it, out of the equation, I think that you're probably getting rid of Natasha there. She spent the whole mission gagging. Mm-hmm. Like, and I thought that that was probably like, you know, if there was no like alliances or like protecting who you like the most, you know, that might have been the move.
She's well liked.
But I think, I mean, she's hilarious and fun. Like you want that person around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if they're just gagging. The entire time.
Yeah. And Richard Sherman's like, please send me home.
Marshawn is incredible. Where I love when they do the thing where they're like, okay, you got to tell me like, why were you mission critical? Like, why should you stay? And Marshawn just goes, I held that ladder like no one else could hold a ladder. And that's it.
That's it. That's it. Especially when Richard Sherman says like, well, I feel like I've done my part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, and that's it. He's just like, yeah, I've mm-hmm. done what I need. I did my part. Yeah. The part was holding the ladder.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. I feel like that's what we're going to say. If we quit watching the show, I think we'll just be like, I think we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah. We saw did what we set needed out to do. See on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm proud of what I've overcome. I've learned so much about myself. Yeah. That's, you know, I did what I needed to. I held enough ladders.
Yeah. So Richard Sherman, he's going to get voted out. But the interesting part of this is that Rhonda is pissed. And that does set the stage for potentially some interesting drama coming out of this.
Yeah. I alluded to this earlier where basically, you know, when they're still talking it through the decision, they save Natasha first. It's down to Marshawn and Richard, and Rhonda's pissed and she's like, one of them goes, the other's going to be right behind them. And then I'm probably going to be right behind them. I'm like, girl, are you telling them that if they vote out one of your guys, the other one's going and you're going right behind and we're all quitting and good luck with your mission.
No, they're not quitting. Rhonda's waited too long to get to Mars.
That's true. This is her dream.
This is her dream.
But she's missing her kid too. So I don't know.
She'll be fine.
Like, do you think that it's one of those things where it's like, oh, look how much this broke Richard. Like, you know, he had to go home to his kids. Mm-hmm. I need to too. You know,
maybe
her sanity here
for Rhonda. Maybe she'll have to bond with other people now that Richard Sherman is gone.
I mean, we saw her bonding with Natasha, so maybe there is a relationship there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I underestimated her. I thought that because she kind of has like resting miserable face.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you see that? You know what I mean?
I don't know if it's my place to say.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just think that like, it's not RBS.
I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
It's not mean. She just looks like sad almost. It's almost like a pained kind of expression on her face where she's just like, you know, or she always just like smelled something bad. Maybe she constantly smelling the septic waste.
Maybe she has like some sort of like trauma after that.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be it. But listen, this episode clearly outlined that she is well-liked in the house. So I stand corrected.
Yeah. Although sorry, I bet Rhonda. In the UFC, in the WWE, I bet you've smelled some stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your face is like in that like sweaty mat. You've smelled some stuff.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want? Is that a worse smell?
Like probably sweaty, not, but
like sweaty spandex.
Probably close. Probably close. Yeah.
Like that does not like absorb sweat in a good way.
I don't think so.
Probably just the disgust. Oh.
All right. But Jenny, that's where we are right now with through 3 weeks of Stars on Mars. Now, okay, I mentioned at the top of the show, Claim to Fame is back next week. I believe in the same time slot.
Uh-oh. I know, 8:00 on Monday. What is going on? Can we not spread this out, guys?
Love triangle that we are in right now, covering two shows potentially.
And relatives of celebrities. Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, Jenny, you're not ready to quit Stars on Mars, right?
I mean, I'm not.
You accomplished what you set out to accomplish?
I don't know that I have. I mean, I haven't. Like, I feel like Ariel, like, you know, I'm just starting to gain my confidence here. Like, when's my time to be base commander, you know? Mm-hmm. No, I'm having fun with it. And now I feel like they've been kind of setting up that it's like, okay, there's, you know, now we're kind of like getting into like the strategy of it and like keeping people that are going to like put me in good roles and protect me.
Yeah.
And I think it could get interesting. And even, you know, even if it's not super strategically interesting, I think the interactions between a lot of these people are fun. I just think that it's maybe I have just my bar is in hell. I don't know.
Bars.
I have been
bars
having
and Mars. Yeah.
Bars and Mars. I have been having a fun time with this. And this episode, I think, was better than last
week.
Yes,
I agree.
So I'm at least interested in seeing what it still has in the tank.
So, Jenny, you don't want to quit Claim to Fame, right?
Oh, I'm just before I even start. Rob,
it sounds like we're podcasting two shows next week.
Listen, I mean, they're two shows that we would podcast about separately if they weren't occurring at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I will ride if you want to ride, Rob.
Okay,
like. At least for now, while if Stars and Mars starts to get really, really bad, then maybe it's a different conversation. But at the very least next week, we've got the premiere of Claim to Fame. And I, in the very least, want to see what happens next week on Stars on Mars.
All right. You got it.
People feel the same, right?
Double dose of Rob and Jenny next week.
Wow.
Claim to Fame, episode 1, Stars on Mars, episode 4. But Stars on Mars, you better bring it.
Yeah, you have competition.
Yeah, you're in the Tom Schwartz zone of like, you're in the, you could be like a deemed not Mish Crit next week.
You better start shoveling that ish. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, Rob, as long as you're like, do you feel good? How do you feel about this?
No, I feel good. We can't quit on Stars on Mars yet. We got to keep going. We got to cover Claim to Fame. Next week,
we've gone further on way worse things.
We're on a crossroads right now.
Yeah.
Let's see next week after talking about two different shows. If, you know, it's just, if it's too much, if Stars on Mars isn't holding our attention.
The people don't get fatigue from me.
No.
Like two podcasts
no way.
With me on it.
No okay. way. Get out of here.
Okay. Well, if you do, please don't tell me.
Okay. All right. Jenny, anything else about Stars on Mars that you want to discuss tonight?
It's silly. It's fun. There's a little bit of strategy. It's well edited. It's like well put together.
Yes.
If you want a fun, light watch, check it out. I'm having fun.
I saw that you had been catching some tweets from the Reality Club on Fox.
Because I was talking about this last week, Rob, about how they love posting the like stuff from Special Forces calling World Stuff as Test. Mm-hmm. And so they hit me with the, you know, it was just a picture of Hannah Brown and Danny Amendola, and it was just like when you're catch like something about like when Bestie has the tea or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. And I gave them a little engagement, and they gave me a little engagement back. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. They're excited.
What up? Yeah.
Spilling tea with my Bestie.
Yeah, Danny that's Amendola you and I every Hannah week.
Brown. Yep.
What's us on Hit or Quit?
Yes. Okay. they were, you know, I was going to go a long way to get to a Brown joke.
Oh, but no. I'm
not going to. Not going
it wasn't
to.
Even really brown, to be mm-hmm. honest. It was like kind of like yellow. It was yeah. really gross.
Well, it's interesting. Jenny, on the Reality Club on Fox header, mm-hmm. It's like there are five faces for the okay. Reality Club on Fox. One of them is Hannah Brown. One of them is Gordon mm-hmm. Ramsay. One of them is Lance. Okay.
Lance. Ooh, is that foreshadowing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Hannah Brown was our, sorry, spoilers for Special Forces, colon, World's Toughest Test. If you didn't listen to the series, Hannah Brown was the winner. Do we get Lance as the brightest star in the galaxy?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Because, I don't know. Okay, who are the other two? Do you know the other two?
Don't put me on the spot like that.
Okay. I don't know. I thought you were going to list them all.
Yeah. Yeah. How about I'm going to go with Niecy Nash is one of them.
I don't even know who that is. So mm-hmm. like you don't even have to.
I believe she is the host of Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Oh, okay. I feel
like Fox has like four shows that are like exactly the same. As,
yeah.
They have like four shows with like Gordon Ramsay cooking stuff and four shows with like,
yeah.
Here's this song. What are the lyrics?
Can you, yeah, finish the song? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jenny, well, this was a lot of fun, of course.
This is great.
Programming note, we will have our first episode of Claim to Fame coming out. We will have that will also be in its own podcast feed. Go to robswebsite.com/fame feed for the Claim to Fame podcast feed, or you could hear us always in our Hit or Quit podcast feed at robswebsite.com/hit or quit feed. Jenny, besides our two podcasts, anything else coming up for you?
No, just enjoying the beginning of summer.
Okay.
And
Jenny Autumn is around the corner.
Yeah. No, we don't even go there yet. Let's enjoy Jenny summer.
Enjoy the summer.
She's fun. She's going to do two podcasts next week. Wow.
Wow.
Look at her go. Okay. But you can follow me on the social meds at Jenny Autumn.
All right.
And that's it.
Jenny, great job here tonight talking about Thank Stars you. On Mars. Join us for the return of Claim to Fame coming up Yay. Next week as well. Thank you for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.